Welcome back, everybody. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast with another edition of the Sunday Sit Rep, bringing current events and opinions and thoughts, feelings, everything in between, right, to you. We do these once a month. If you guys are new to the podcast, welcome in. This is an opportunity for us to sit down and have, albeit a somewhat abbreviated discussion around, like I said, current events, maybe some politicking, things like that, that are going on in the world. And then there's certainly right now no short, no shortness of things for us to get into with current events. I mean, we could reach back into last month too. I think that a lot of us are still reeling from the Charlie Kirk assassination and the attack on the children's Catholic school in Minnesota, and there's been more, right? There's been more stuff going on. I'm not going to say I'm going to sit here and just open up into those events per se, but we're going to talk about trends. We're going to talk about how you can be more prepared for what's going on out in the world, because this isn't going away. You know, it's sad, it's upsetting, it really is, but when we talk about individual preparedness, family, home preparedness, and then obviously that flows up and into being a prepared community, which I think is what a lot of us are trying very hard to build into, is a more prepared community. So it's not just our family that's safer, it's our families and things like that, and our friends' families that are safer together. And it's something that we have to talk about. We have to continue to talk about it. And I'm going to continue to try and share the insights that I have on these things and what some of the things I've been able to do personally, some of the things I've seen people doing online, some of the things we've been talking about. There's a lot. There's a lot to it. Like I said, this isn't going to be the discussion where we get into any one of these things super in depth, but it's all stuff we have to talk about, you know. It's a lot. The world we live in today is not the world that many of us grew up in. You know, I like to mention, I remember growing up, 95, 96, 97, something like that. Somewhere between the first and third grade, right? And I remember the same, like, shitty plastic plates that we had that we ate off of as kids, just because we were children and, you know, you don't give kids nice stuff because they break it and everything, right? I remember every night sitting down at dinner, and I think it was ABC World News Tonight used to come on after, or it used to get flipped on or something. We would watch with my dad, because my mom would work evenings and my dad would work during the day. So he'd come home and we'd do dinner and watch the it's a terrible show looking at it now, looking back on it, right? It was the show Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas. And I'm pretty sure at the time we were watching reruns anyway, but we used to sit down and we're watching that and then flipping on the news. And that was seeing the stuff in Kosovo that was going on at the time and the war and just, you know, all of that stuff. And as a child, right, thinking, well, I'm just glad I never lived there. I don't live there. I don't have to live like that. I don't, you know, open my front door to, you know, my parents' home, my childhood home. I don't open my door. I don't see those things, right? And thinking that it could never happen here. And I think a lot of us did feel that way up until, right, September 11th. And then things now have just gotten slowly shittier over the past several years, and it's kind of on this acceleration curve of just getting worse and worse. So we're gonna talk about some of this stuff. Before we get into it this week, we do have some sponsors, we have some supporters here I want to say thank you to. And at the time of this, I have to start off by saying thank you to you guys, especially those of you that are subscribers on our YouTube channel, because we broke 3,000 subscribers, which is not a lot for the YouTube space. Yes, I am aware of that. However, for us, it's a big deal. You know, us here at Prepared Mindset, we started the year, we had just hit we just hit 1,000 subscribers, right? It was like the second week of January. So we pushed really hard to try and break into 1,000 at the beginning of the year, missed that just by a week or two. And then, you know, come around May time, busted into, you know, it was around like 2,000 or 2,500 subscribers, and then most recently breaking into 3. And it's tough, you know. So happy that the content is helpful. Blessed to have the support from you guys, as well as here on the podcast. And, you know, we also have a Patreon. So it's patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. If you're looking for access to more of this content, more of this information, videos, blogs, pods, whatever, you can check that out. That comes back to support us just a little bit, you know. and everything that we're doing here. You know, so we're trying to do better videos, trying to do more videos. We just released one this weekend with Blake Flannery of Orion Training Group and Maneuver Training Solutions when we made our trip out to Ben Franklin Range. And I'll share a little bit more on that in a moment. But head over to the YouTube channel if you guys are listening to this and haven't checked out that video with Blake. It's a pretty fun one. But we do also have some industry partners. We partner with some companies that do some fantastic work and make people like you and I, the consumers, their absolute priority. And that has to start, of course, with our friends over at Custom Night Vision, you guys. If you're looking to get into night vision, you have questions, you have concerns, you don't know where to start, right? The team at Custom makes it their mission to provide the most transparent buying experience to all of their customers. Whether you're coming in the door asking questions, kicking tires on a single tube unit like a PVS-14 or an MH-14 or a Tonto, anything that's a single tube device, right? Because you have a budget, right? You're trying to be budget conscious because there's other things like your home and your family and things you have to worry about. They're there to support you and answer your questions just as well as if you're there coming through the door to ask about the newest, the latest, the greatest binocular housings with L3 Super Gain tubes. And yes, Custom still has some of the L3 Super Gains in stock. You guys can head on over to CustomNightVision.com. And honestly, you can check out all the tubes they have available there because they do the right thing by you guys, the customer, and they actually list and provide images. So before you commit to purchasing, you can select the individual tube or tubes, depending on what housing you're getting, and see an image of what your tube is going to look like. Do you have blems in it? Are you okay with that? Do you want to try something different? Is it too dark of a shade of, you know, that blue color if it's a white phosphor? Is it too dark a green? And all kinds of other great information for you guys. So again, head on over to CustomNightVision.com. Check out all of the devices they have in stock ready to go for you. And in addition to that, if you so need, they are also a provider of Team Wendy helmet systems and solutions. So you guys can grab one of their bump helmets, one of their carbon bumps, all the way on up to their Epic Specialist, the new ballistic helmet that they have out there, their X-Fill series of ballistic helmets, even the SL, which is, I think it stands for super light. I got to handle one this weekend, and it is very, very light, you guys. They're ultra comfortable, and they carry mounts, they carry accessories, all kinds of stuff down to optics and lasers from companies like EOTech and B.E. Myers, Steiner, Holosun, and more. Again, you guys, head on over to CustomNightVision.com. Go check that all out for yourselves today. Let them know that Prepared Mindset sent you. So big thanks to those guys, and also want to take just a moment here to say thank you to our friends at Harrington Arms down in Ohio. And if you guys are looking for a way, right, an out-of-the-box way, I should say, to improve your shooting, your handgun shooting specifically, head on over to HarringtonArms.com and check out their complete line of compensators. They actually sent me out the HC95 compensator, and Jake just got a hold of me this weekend. They have a version 2 now that they're dropping that actually increases by another 8% the amount of reduced felt recoil. So it's a great, great way to build off of your strong, fundamental, foundational handgun skills with their compensators. And they're going to be dropping their Hacker system in the next few weeks here, next couple months here, which is their barrel and compensator quick disconnect system. So if you guys are familiar with some of the other, you know, proprietary barrel and compensator offerings in the market, this is going to be a competitor, something I think it's actually going to beat the competition in a lot of ways. And again, head on over to HarringtonArms.com, check out everything they have going on. They got all kinds of good accessories for your rifle cable management. They have placards, magwells, obviously the compensators, and a whole heck of a lot more. So guys, big thanks to Harrington Arms, and of course to all of our supporting sponsors over on Patreon, you guys on the YouTubes, Instagram, and of course you're listening to this, because without you guys, none of this is possible. None of it really matters, right? So with that, let's go ahead and we can jump into what's all just been going on here. And I guess I'll make this light one. It's not light, honestly. We'll get this out of the way. Diddy got sentenced. You know, I feel like that's been something that people have been following. I have not, because I can honestly say I don't give a shit about him. I think he's a trash human, based off of some of the things I had heard, seen, read coming out of the last. You know, it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but I'm pretty sure as I sit down and think about it here, it's been over a year. I'm pretty sure it's been over a year, almost a year and a half of him being in either incarcerated or on lockdown or whatever, due to all the allegations and charges and things that were brought against him for a variety of just disgusting crimes against his fellow humans a lot in the way of, you know, I know there were stuff around human trafficking and exploitation and things like that. But long story short, Diddy got sentenced to 50 months, less time already served. So for those of you guys that are not math majors, 48 months is 4 years. So he got sentenced to 4 years, 2 months, and that's less time already served. So basically around 3 years is what he's going to be spending in prison before he gets out due to the charges that were brought against him for these various allegations and things. I know there were all the memes that were floating around. Everyone's very well aware of like the baby oil, the amount of baby oil and stuff that was like discovered, I guess, you know, or found during the investigation at we had his house. And I bought it at Costco. That's why, you know, it was Costco or Sam's Club, right? And that's why he had so much of it in his home. And then I think it was Costco. I'm pretty sure they like tweeted out on X or something. They were like, I don't know if we can say tweet anymore because it's not Twitter, it's X. But anyways, they posted on X and said, we don't even carry this product. That's not where he got it. So people kind of started drawing a lot of conclusions and connections there. But there's a lot of really shitty stuff. You're seeing a lot of celebrities come out and testify, so to speak, right, publicly, not in a court, I don't think, but a lot of people make statements about the parties and the, you know, the things that they experienced or in some cases participated in or witnessed or whatever, and how just awful it was. And I think that speaks to a broader issue with our community, you know, because when people like this are idolized, right, and in the culture and the community, right, of our young Americans, and not even just the young Americans, it's a lot of people. When this kind of behavior, when these kind of people are idolized for the lifestyles they're able to lead through the more, I guess through the more evil and nefarious ways of living life. I don't even know what to call it, honestly, lifestyles. When people start to idolize this, we start to encourage this. This is something people actually looked to and said, I want to do that. I want to be like Diddy. I want to have the success. I want to have the people all over me. I want to have the parties. I want to have the fame and the fortune and the attention. And it's like, this is not what life is supposed to be about. And then, you know, like I said, it becomes this thing that we look to and idolize, and then it leads to the further degeneration of our younger generations. I don't know if I can say degeneration of generations, but I did. So I think you guys get what I'm saying, though. It's a problem, you know, culture-wise, it's a huge problem. It's good to see for a change somebody like this actually get some sort of jail time, some sort of punishment. Do I think it'll matter? No, I don't. Do I think he'll be able to continue running his business through the minimum security facility he'll probably be putting in or getting put in? Yeah, I think he will. I don't have details on any of that. That's just my broad assumption based off of the stuff we've seen people like Martha Stewart, right? With tons and tons of insider training and gets caught for that and guilty is charged or whatever. And she's out. Hasn't changed anything Martha Stewart's done. Oh, now she collaborates with Snoop Dogg on everything, which I actually find those collaborations funny. But I just say it to point out that at some point you make enough money, you are famous enough. It doesn't matter if you go to prison or not. You know, you got to be... It's got to be, like, disgustingly heinous for you to lose in the court of public perception at a certain point. Like some of these guys with the, like, Harvey Weinstein and stuff and the sexual assault stuff that was going on. Because he wasn't himself a public figure, there was not that public love and that positive portrayal of him as an individual. Which is why I think, you know, he didn't get the benefit of the doubt that people like Diddy are getting or, you know, any of that shit. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It'll be a 3-year stint for him. I don't know if that's with opportunity for parole or good behavior, early release, that kind of shit. But not surprised to see him get some time. There was a lot of evidence stacked against him, and I think, given what's going on in the country with the Epstein files and everything else, I think that there were people. I don't know who they are, but there are people who are looking for, you know, a fall guy, a scapegoat of some sort and variety, and this will satisfy some folks for at least a brief time, and then we'll see something else pop up and come up, and it'll be, you know, it'll be the circus all over again. So, okay, so moving on from the freak-offs and the Diddy sentencing, you know, I will say we were in Pennsylvania last weekend. So there's a charity event that we typically try to attend every year because the charity supports a very, very good cause. We were basically told about 5 days, I think, ahead of when we were leaving. So I think it was Monday. It was either Sunday night or Monday that we were told that the event was being canceled due to some just completely unavoidable circumstances, right? And so the immediate thought was, okay, well, we're going to lose our money on our Airbnb. We were really looking forward to the weekend. We got some dudes in the group that are going through some like life stuff. They really needed the break and the time away. And so I was able to contact Ryan, who is the owner at Ben Franklin Range. And if you guys haven't been to BFR, it's a tremendous facility with a lot to offer. Unknown distance range. We used the shoot house for a day and a half. They got like three different just like shooting flat ranges. Like one's a gravel range, the other two are actually turf, like AstroTurf, which is really nice. And they have a lodge on site, so you can stay on site. There's a classroom attached to the lodge, so you can do like med courses. And if there's a practical portion of your curriculum or whatever that you need to do, you can utilize the lodge for that and then go drive down into the range and start using those facilities. And they do like off-road stuff there and everything as well. So they're a great facility out in Pennsylvania, one that we've been visiting. This is our third year in a row now going to visit BFR. But called Ryan, called Blake Flannery, who was to be our instructor at this charity event. And you guys probably know Blake. He's on the cadre with the Ryan Training Group. Contacted him. I'm friends with Blake. I've had him on the podcast a couple times already. So super cool dude. Reached out to him, you know, hey, is there a possibility? We have a, you know, group of seven of us. Can we still come out? We'll keep it low key. We'll do some content and everything. But can we come out and still, you know, do the weekend, so to speak. And, he was cool with it. He came out. So, we got to spend the weekend, Friday. We got out there around 3 or 4 o'clock. We got into the Airbnb. So we did our same deal as last year. We left. We drove down into Ohio, got on the turnpike. We stopped at one of the travel plazas there because if you guys haven't been to one of those, I don't know if they have these or this design in other parts of the country, but it's like a mini mall type thing. There's like a mall food court, you know, is one pot of it where you, I think the first place had like Hardee's and it had like Marco's Pizza and I think it had maybe like a Dunkin' Donuts and something else, right? So not like the greatest of food, but you have food options, which is nice. And then there was two different convenience stores you could go into that had, you know, one had like travel stuff, like travel pillows and snacks and medication. I think actually they both had that. It was kind of weird. The first one had both things, but then they also have two gigantic bathrooms and they have shower facilities for truckers and stuff where they can go pay to shower and clean up and everything while they're on the road. Throughout the Ohio Turnpike. It's actually really, really nice. So after experiencing that the first year, we did it last year and met up and then did it again this year, made it out to the Airbnb around 4 or 4:30, I think. And Blake met us around 7 o'clock. I think he got out to the house coming up from North Carolina. Daniel joined us too. He came up from the Columbus, Ohio area. And we had some outstanding steaks and lobster tail and some fixins and stuff and just hung out until like, honestly, to like midnight or something, just, you know, decompressing, which is fantastic and a lot of fun. And spent the weekend with Blake, learning, you know, structure clearance. So it was a good refresher and a good review for many of us. A couple of us had never really been through that before and none of us had learned it from Blake before. So it was a really cool opportunity. And I mentioned a lot of this, on the pod episode this week, but so why I'm rehashing this and why this is relevant again. We completed our training on Sunday around noon, and I think we were on the road, you know, did a photo, you know, everybody shakes hands, says goodbye and whatnot. We got on the road around 12:30 or 12:45, I think, and then I want to say it was around 2 or 2:30, we stopped at the first of those travel plazas. As soon as we got on the Ohio Turnpike, we stopped to get food together. And just before that, you know, when you Bluetooth to the car, you start getting updates and notifications on stuff, and my Discord notifications are going off. And it was one of the guys in our group that he wasn't on the trip with us, but he's in our Discord and posted there was a attack on a church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. So what happened was this was a former Marine who drove his vehicle into the church during worship and started opening fire on the parishioners, and I also believe then set fire, which just set fire to the church, right? And it's, I think two people died, was what I saw or what I last read. Unfortunately, this is not getting the media attention I think it deserves, because this is a disgusting act by somebody who I think certain people in this country and the world claim to be the big problem, which is like white conservative individuals. This individual served in the military. I think he was a part of that parish. I'm not totally sure on that. And yeah, guys, we're starting to see this shit a heck of a lot more. You know, this is getting to the point now where it's becoming normal. It's becoming standardized. And we have leadership in this country that would rather capitalize on this tragedy to scream for gun control, to talk about, see, this is what you get for having your guns. And it's like, okay, wait a minute, because the worst part of this was the fire, and he ran a vehicle through the side of the building. So are you suggesting that we also outlaw matches and lighters and automobiles? But I don't want to make that the point. You know, lives were lost here. It was tragic. We have to have greater security measures in our houses of worship, you know, because there was also another attacking in Manchester at a synagogue. And I don't want to make this, because I think the problem that we're running into when we look at these incidents, right, is people want to go, well, that's because, you know, I don't care about the synagogue attack because I don't like the Jews. You know, as anti-Semitic as that is to say, we see people sharing stuff on social media all the time. I've gotten messages from people and like, hey, here's this meme video talking shit about the Jews or Jewish people in Israel, right? Because they don't like the government of Israel. And then the follow-on message is, I fucking hate Jews. Like, I'm not making that up. Somebody actually, a friend, actually sent that shit to me. And I think that's fucking disgusting. Because you can hate the government. I mean, a lot of people hate our government, but still love the people. And I think that that's what we need to be focusing on, not the over-politicized, broader speculation of who's good, who's bad, who's right, who's wrong. And I think that that's where we end up focusing. You know, with the Charlie Kirk assassination last month, certainly it's become a left versus right debate. We've, you know, obviously we've seen some pretty heinous human beings. We've seen some pretty horrible shit set out on social media. People saying things to justify the murder of an innocent man simply because he said something you didn't like. Simply because he believed, through worship, things that you didn't agree with. And the fucked part is a lot of people that had said this shit to me were the same people I went through catechism with growing up. They had a somewhat conservative or somewhat religious-based upbringing, and then just, hey, this guy deserves to die. And it's like, no, nobody fucking deserves to die, because then by your own logic and what you're saying there, then any people on the opposite side of the aisle from you, so any conservative would then be completely justified, right, to off you for talking about how children should have access to sex change surgeries as young as 10 years old and that kind of shit. Nobody's saying that. I'm not saying that, because that's fucking wrong. Yes, do I disagree with that on every fucking level of my being? Yes, I think that, A, leave the kids alone. Like, if there's just, you know, one rule we could set with pretty much anything in any debate ever in this country, it's leave the fucking kids alone. Wait until they're fucking adults, let them make their own goddamn decisions, and stop influencing them through public education. But I digress. It's become a real problem where I think at this point, it's not religiously driven and it's not politically driven. I think it is a greater illustration of the problem that we have as a human race, as a human culture. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of things that have gone into it over the last several years. As I'm sitting here thinking about this with you guys, I don't even know how to properly articulate where this all comes together, but I'm gonna do my best here and try and like bring you guys along for the things that I see as being a problem. And I hate that we always go back to it, but I'm gonna say COVID, because if you think about this, the number of attacks and attackers due to COVID, I think, has spiked. And you look at the number of people who, and I'm not going to say just the kids that went through their 4 years of high school under the COVID. So from like 2020 to 2024, right? I'm talking like you're basically looking at anybody who was in high school from like 2018, 2017 even, all the way up to 2024, because they either spent the last 2 years of their high school life, last 2 years of their high school life, which is your arguably in a lot of instances the most formidable of your years, right? That's when you're really coming out into your own. Senior year is supposed to be about expression and like you're about to be an adult and you're going to leave school and go out and forge your own path in the world, whatever that is, right? Nope, you're going to stay home and sit behind a computer screen and do nothing and be told that none of the things that you plan for yourself, important things, right? Going to homecoming dance, talking to the girl that you like, you know, all of those experiences with your friends and stuff. Nope, you don't get to have those because the government deemed it too important for you to put on a fucking mask, which we also found out doesn't work. Take a bunch of vaccines, which we also found out aren't good for you and don't actually help. And that was the priority. And then we had kids that came up and were already, you know, you're already leaving that middle school phase of life, right? Where shit's awkward. Like, you guys think back to middle school. Shit is awkward, dude. And then you're going to spend the first 2 years of your formidable high school life behind a computer screen with no interaction. It's fucked. It's really fucked. And that's on top of the fact that we already had a growing issue with people just plopping their kids in front of a screen. Give them a tablet. Give them your cell phone. Give them access to different subscription services so you don't have to parent. And I'm not, I get it. It's easy for me to say these things because I don't have kids. But at the same time, my parents, you know, I made it out. Like, I have three brothers. There's four of us. I had parents that both worked full-time jobs and shit. We had a lot of crap going on, but we made it. Do I have problems? Yes. Yeah, I got issues, man. We all got fucking issues. That's the human condition, man. Like, we all have fucking issues. And I think working through it is the beautiful struggle of life. But what we're seeing before, I think, is that you had people that understood those things. You had your friends that went through similar struggles. You have family members, friends that were graduating a year or two ahead of you, a year or two behind you, that are going through those similar things. And you work together and you bond together and you grow through those things because, you know, one or two people find a way to work through it based off of one or two other people. And it's this whole community upbringing and uprising thing where you're able to grow and develop as a human. I think, this is just my theory, that because we spend way too much time on social media, that includes the gun tube space, by the way, which is super toxic and is not supportive, does not help people. For as much as we sit here and say, many of us sit here and say that we try to create this content to help people, the people that create the content are very often too tied up in content creation and not enough in community engagement. And I'll say, as I'm saying this out loud, that includes me. Like, I am guilty of that because it is exhausting trying to keep up with the algorithm and trying to achieve relevancy as a smaller creator, right? That when you have the opportunities to step in and try and find some of these discussions or arguments or whatever, either can't find them, don't have the time to find them, don't have the energy, or just, you know, it's on top of a day job too. I think the fabric of our community at its essence is weakening. And I think it comes down to, because it comes down to those two things. It really does. That's what I was going to say. Because COVID stunted our emotional growth developmentally, right? It really set us back a long, long ways. We're going to be seeing the impacts of the COVID pandemic beyond the scope of the medical impacts for decades to come. That's my prediction. I really think that's true. In addition to that, all of those things are exacerbated by the existing problem prior to that, which was the screen time. The distancing, the social distancing that was self-imposed, right? We'd rather go, you know, sit in our basement and play video games and, you know, message each other back and forth on Snapchat and everything than develop real relationships, you know? And if people want to say it's video games, it's not video games. I remember some of the coolest things I ever got to do was go to LAN parties. You guys remember your buddies would all get together at someone's house. Everyone would bring a TV and an Xbox, and you'd all get in opposite corners of somebody's basement, and the TVs would all face each other so you couldn't screen peek and everything. And you'd sit down there for 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever, and just play fucking Halo and shit against each other. And all the while, hey, let's take a break. Let's have some pizza. Let's, like, talk some shit. Like, whatever. You're physically interacting with people through those mediums. So I'm not going to say that that's the biggest issue. But what I will say is a big issue is that people are spending less time outdoors. And there's a lot of science to support this. So the vitamin D that you get from actual sunlight is critical to your mood and your, we talk about anxiety and depression and things. There's the grounding effect that happens when your bare feet touch grass. I know it's become this like overused, you know, one liner, like go outside and touch some fucking grass, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, shut the fuck up. I'm sick of hearing that. But at the same time, there's so much truth in that. How can you really get upset at anybody saying that when it is so true? Because these people are not going out. They're not spending time outside. When they do, it's concrete. It's pavement. It's cold, right? It's disconnected. It's getting in a car, driving to the road, going to your cement office building, working your desk job, and then coming home. Or even worse, like in my instance, you don't even leave the house. I work completely remotely, which is a blessing for a lot of reasons. I get to spend a lot of time with my dogs. Those, you know, I love those two. I get to take care of some stuff around the house, not as much as, you know, people imagine. People tell me all the time, like, oh, you work from home. You can just go do this. I'm like, no, I fucking can't. I have like phone calls and meetings and work I have to do, but thank you for sharing your misinformed opinion of what remote working is like. There's a lot to that shit, and the world as a result of that, unfortunately, and maybe this speaks to the worse nature of us as humans, is that we see an increase in violence because we're lashing out. People don't know how to deal with it, you know, and it's very easy for me to sit here and say this, but I've done a lot of work on myself trying to understand my own anxiety, at times the feelings of depression, right? And I think some of the stuff, there's a lot of things you can do that will help. And then a lot of those things are discouraged. Like, hey, sit down and read the Bible, man. I haven't even done it a lot. I would say in the last month since Charlie died, month-ish, right, I wanted to commit to doing a lot more. But I'll sit down, I'll read a couple chapters at a time, and you know, and then you walk away from it. It's not a book that you have to sit down and read cover to cover. I started with the Book of John. So talking with Jeremiah from Teardown Systems, that's where, you know, he recommended I start. And I'll tell you what, man, I feel just a little bit better. You know, every day is just a little bit better. And then I'll read a little bit more, and they feel a little bit better. You know, I was having some issues coming out of our weekend trip to Pennsylvania, some frustration, I'll say anger, you know, sat down, I had a phone call with Josh, talked with him about some stuff he's got going on in his life, you know, that's sharing. And I will say it's difficult. Here's the caveat. It is difficult to share feelings. And as men, we're really not supposed to. It's something you should do if you have those relationships in your life, because mental health is huge. Especially for us as men, when we're supposed to be the providers, we're supposed to be the strong figure in the household. That's not to say that we don't have our own issues. It's something we've just started talking about in the last several years in our culture and our community, especially in the 2A space. But man, like, be there for the homies and check in on them often and do what you can to help. It is a huge, huge thing, and something that I'm not going to stop talking about because it helps me. But yeah, like, you know, spend some time on the phone with him. Sat down and read, I think, 2 or 3 chapters out of, you know, the Book of John. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people, or at least maybe even just me, when you think about reading the Bible and you think about your faith and you think about the wonderful things people say about finding Christ and being saved by him. Here's the thing. I don't know if anybody really knows what that's supposed to feel like. I don't. I thought it was just gonna be like this, like, you know, it sounds so ridiculous. There's just like this awe, this moment of awe and inspiration of like just being touched where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're saved. And nothing else like that happens. You know, it's an unrealistic expectation. Like, you don't just magically wake up and like, I feel incredible today because I finally got over the flu. Like, no, it's a gradual thing. You feel a little bit better, then a little bit better. And then after a couple more days, it's gone, right? So unrealistic expectation, probably on my part. What I will say is that sometimes this has been my experience. It's little things. Small, unhealthy urges, right? Go away. You know, maybe you need a little bit less snack food. Maybe if you're fighting, you know, urges for unhealthy, you know, pornography, things like that, right? Maybe it's, you know, anything, I don't know, smoking, right? Like, I'm not saying that through God alone you can kick any of those habits or just like reinvent your life. Maybe you can. Maybe you can. And here's the thing, don't know until you try. I think that a lot of us have locked that the idea of having faith, we've locked that out of our life for so long because we were told for so long that you have to practice your faith a certain way. You have to end up being one of these guys like Charlie that can just rattle off and quote scripture. And I would love to. I don't know if that'll ever be me. But if it helps me feel better, if it helps me deal with the issues I'm experiencing and I can come back to it, I can reread it, I can feel re-inspired, then it's a good thing to have, you know? Like, why the fuck not? And that's why I've become more an advocate for that. When I started this podcast 5 years ago, man, I'll be honest with you guys, I was not one of those people that was a Bible thumper. I was very much trying to be one of these people that operated in this space without any kind of faith at all. And, you know, and I had some life events that led me to that, you know, nothing horrific. I think it was mostly just not liking to go to church as a child and then having been relatively successful in my life up to that point. But I'll tell you, no, we can't do any of this shit alone. And that's not saying, oh, well, I have a wife. I'm not doing it. Or I have best buddies to help me with my endeavors and my training and stuff. I'm not doing it alone. But your mental and your emotional, your spiritual battles, you can't do those alone either. And I think at some point we all start to at least look to some degree for that help. So, I mean, I don't want to make this whole thing about religion, but I think it can help with a lot of the problems that we're experiencing as a country, as a culture, right, as a community, because these attacks on synagogues, these attacks on, you know, Christian houses of worship, whether it's Catholic or something else, right? Unfortunately, I fear it's not going away anytime soon. We've now seen it become a very popular trend, thankfully, in some regard, right? That a lot of these churches and things, they have security teams. They have security measures put in place because they have to fortify themselves in the event that they might be attacked. So that means replacing windows with, you know, wired glass that you can't necessarily bust out. It could mean replacing doors with, you know, auto locking mechanisms and things when you hit a panic button or so. I don't know. I've only really been to one or two churches personally that have something like this. I tried to provide some light consulting for one house of worship that a buddy had asked me to come out and take a look. They had wanted some training. I wasn't going to be the one that was going to be able to come out there on a regular basis. I was like, hey, I can do a couple hours of work with you guys. I'd be happy to do something like that. But it's, you know, it was like 45 minutes one way. And then with construction, it was like an hour and 15 the other. It would have honestly been a really, really cool opportunity. You know, walk through it. Hey, you probably do some two-man CQB drills and practice. They had blue guns, you know, so it was a completely safe and indoors and stuff like that. Apparently they train and qualify on some sort of pre-established regular basis. So they already had a lot of good stuff put together and they put a lot of cameras in and had like some very good fundamental, I'll say like foundational decisions made on, hey, we're going to keep these doors locked because they never need to be open except for, you know, during service on Sundays. So like we'll unlock them for that, but the rest of the week they stay completely closed so people can't access stuff. And they still have issues, you know, everything you can't turn schools, you can't turn churches, you can't turn office buildings into fortified structures. You just can't. You'll drive yourself insane with the amount of lockdown that you subject yourself to. And it's tough. No one's saying it's easy. It's a good thing that we're having these discussions, we're acknowledging these problems, while also being a tremendously horrific issue that now, much to the same way that we've seen with school shootings, it just becomes something where we are saddened to hear about it, and then within a day or two, instantly dismiss it out of our minds and out of our lives because it's too sad for us to acknowledge and try to address. That's just my theory on it. And it's not getting a whole ton better. I think there's common sense solutions to a lot of this stuff that don't involve red flag laws, that don't involve, you know, the violation of constitutional rights. I personally have always been an advocate for be more accountable personally. Be more accountable personally, right? Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to your surroundings. Carry a firearm. Be well-trained in how to use it. And that doesn't mean you got to carry, you know, a sidecar with an X300 and an SRO on it and a spare mag. And then, you know, go to church and have like an ankle med kit on. Like, you don't got to leave the house like the gospel terminator. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily have to, but if everybody does something, and that was the great part too about the one institution I had gone to like help consult with was, yeah, they have people there that don't want to carry a gun. Yeah, we want to help. We want to be part of the security effort. We want to make this place safer for everybody. I just don't want a gun. Cool. That's the greatest thing ever, because medical training doesn't involve firearms. And it's completely essential. And honestly essential in the event that you just have a whoopsie daisy at any of your church gatherings, right? Like church fairs, stuff like that, right? Shit happens. People get hurt. Hey, I know baseline medical and I can help until first responders arrive. Like, that's a beautiful thing. You know, not that it happened, but you can get the training. Communications and radio training. There's all of that, right? There's a lot that goes into this that doesn't involve carrying a gun. Now, unfortunately, everyone, you know, you always get those weird ones that are like, yeah, I really want to carry a gun. I really want to be on a security team because they are not a police officer. They were never in the military. And they're searching for that kind of weird fantasy validation. And that's the kind of stuff where it starts to get a little bit dangerous, you know, and you have to really make sure that people are wanting to do these things for the right reasons and not just wanting to live out some kind of weird action hero fantasy. So, and that's a struggle, but that's the reality of it. And being private institutions, right, as houses of worship are, they're empowered to make those decisions. That's the problem with schools, is that schools are public institutions for the most part, right? So they can't unilaterally stand up a security team. And on top of that, there are state and federal laws that prohibit the carrying of firearms other than by law enforcement on the premises. So you're even more limited. So basically you become a security monitor, which I'll say this is why I think we're going to these two differences, right? I think it's why we will start to see a decline in church attacks, or if we do, we will see a decline in the number of mortal wounds. Mortality will decrease, survivability will increase, and then that will lead to a decrease in the overall number of events, because more and more of these churches, right, because a lot of them have a lot of money, they have the money, they can invest into these kinds of practices, teams, procedures, things like that to protect themselves. Churches aren't going anywhere. They're not. Okay, organized religion is as old as almost time itself, it seems. So they're not going anywhere. They find ways to survive. I think there's a remarkable adaptability that goes for, and some of you guys may love this, some of you guys may hate hearing it, but there's a remarkable adaptability that goes with a lot of these houses of worship. And some of it is kind of disgusting because it's big business. And people like Joel Olstein, I think, are like, you know, the examples of where religion really shouldn't go. But I think that that's what you'll see on that side of things with the church security teams and the training and the qualifications and the structure to it. And really, it represents all of the greatest things in why a lot of us live this more prepared lifestyle, is to protect ourselves and the people we love, protect our communities. It's not to just feel emboldened and empowered to pull a trigger. It's to actually serve each other, to protect each other, you know, and the lifestyle which we're trying to live. And I think that's amazing. On the other side of it, I do think that we're going to continue to see, until there's actual meaningful, impactful, material change to the laws and policies around how we protect schools and our school children, I think we'll continue to see these incidents get worse, because we keep addressing the symptoms and not addressing the problem. You know, red flag laws, safe storage laws, you know, okay, well, those are already laws. All you're doing is creating more charges to throw at the person after the fact. You need to do things that are going to make it more difficult for these evil assholes to hurt our children, to hurt school children, to make these attacks possible. And this isn't the place to get into all of that, but I think that if you start addressing it proactively rather than reactively, things get different. And again, I think there's plenty of ways you can do it without infringing on constitutional rights, without getting into deeper background checks and limiting ammo purchases and magazine capacity and calibers. And it's like, all of that shit is so stupid. It's not going to fix anything. It's not going to fix anything. It really doesn't. But it will help these politicians stay in office. Oh, if you elect me, I'll pass this law, and that's going to make our community safer. And they just erodes more and more and more and more of our rights to bear arms. And I obviously disagree pretty vehemently and adamantly with that on a lot of levels. Knowing what I know and having experienced what I've experienced and things like that, I think there's a lot of ways. And here's the problem. Yeah, it's going to require outside investment. Or I shouldn't even say outside investment in our school system. It's going to require investment by the school. And that means they're going to have to refocus their funding. Maybe there's less diversity programs that they spend money on. Maybe some of these educators who are in their 60s should have to be forced to retire. They got to restructure. You know, hey, I get it. Being a teacher is a very, very noble profession. But hey, maybe there's some restructuring with the pay and benefits and things like that. Like, I don't know. I don't know the details of that. I just know that there has to be money for this somewhere, because here's the thing. None of these school systems fold and fail. I mean, even Detroit public schools didn't fold and fail. And all we ever hear every year, there's a different public school system. Oh, this superintendent stepped away. And then, oh, hey, look, embezzlement charges. So they're stealing all of this money. And then there is still ways for them to operate successfully without people taking giant pay cuts, losing jobs, blah, 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 blah. So the money is there. It's just being spent in all the wrong fucking ways on superintendents and administrators that don't fucking do anything but go glad hand in the community. And further, hey, why don't you connect with your community? They'll donate for everything else, from the football team to the volleyball team to the glee club to the marching band. You don't think that there's businesses, conservative businesses in your area, that would make large donations for tax write-off purposes, whatever, to improve the safety and security of the schools that their kids, their nieces, their nephews, their grandkids go to? There's opportunity there, guys. There really fucking is. Eventually, I hope we get there. Only time will tell. But again, I don't think this stuff is going away. So it was a really kind of a shitty tone to an otherwise exciting weekend for us coming up from Pennsylvania, getting the news, getting the updates, seeing and reading about all the stuff going on in Grand Blanc, Michigan, while we were driving back through Ohio. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I really touched on anything of super, super substance, but man, it's all really important stuff. And hopefully this is helpful to you guys, or it gets you thinking. Because I think if we spur more creative thought, right, that's the first and most important step in trying to address these issues, right? Trying to make things better, trying to fix the problems, and then be able to heal, you know. And I love that term, because I think it's a process. It's a healing process. It's not, you're not just going to fix it overnight. It's not a black and white. It's not an on and off switch. It's a process over time. It took us a lot of time to get here, right? It took us a lot of years, a lot of time, a lot of problems, a lot of poor decisions, right, to get to the situation that we're all living in today in 2025. And shit, I mean, we're closer than not to 2026. So it's not going to be an easy fix. It's not going to be a quick fix. But if we remain vigilant, it's possible. And if we remain silent and don't do anything, wait for somebody else to do it, it's never going to get any better. We have to be more proactive. So thank you guys so much for checking this SITREP, this episode of the SITREP out. If you enjoyed this, please consider leaving a comment in the comment section. If you have questions for me, if you have comments, we're on Instagram. You guys, it's prepared_mindset_pod. Check out all the posts there. You shoot me a DM. If you have questions, you want to email, all this stuff, it's all out there. It's available, you know. Would love to hear from you guys, you know, connecting with the audience. I've developed some incredible relationships through running this podcast that become, I'll be honest, incredibly helpful. Like, I'll just say shout out to Devlin, who was able to, like, I don't say overnight mail me, but mailed me some screws for my MH1 night vision, because the, like, battery cap tether, that screw backed itself out, and I couldn't get a hold of the guys at Lloyd Innovations. And as soon as I threw up, like, I'd messaged them, I'd texted the owner, not throwing shade, he's on vacation, he's entitled, didn't get a response, threw it up on my story, and within, like, half an hour, I had a response from him, like, oh, dude, mine came out, they, you know, when I had that issue, they sent me, like, a dozen, here, I'll send you a couple. So he sent me out three of these screws, and I just Loctited the piss out of it to make sure it doesn't come back out or anything. But the connections, the community here, man, it's so fucking cool. It's really cool being able to develop the relationships, again, with guys like Devlin, with, you know, with Ben, with Titan Tactical over in Illinois. Well, I hate the state. I love the guy. Totally cool dude. People like, you know, Blake, you know, who lives in North Carolina, met with him in between, right, in Pennsylvania. It's outstanding stuff. So if you guys do have thoughts, if you do have questions, if you want to get in contact with me, feel free to reach out. And again, check out the YouTube page. We're dropping stuff at a pretty regular basis, or I'm trying to drop stuff off, drop stuff on there at a pretty regular basis. Shorts, full-length videos. We just did the one with Blake talking about helmet setups and night vision and all that good stuff. So if that's something you're into or interested in, go check that out. Give that a like. Give us a subscribe there, because as we continue to grow, those are the things that help us with, yes, with sponsors, but then also just reach, and we can do more. Things like trying to go out to SHOT Show this year in 2026 coming up. Make the trip out for at least a couple days to go connect with industry peers and partners and all that good stuff. So thank you guys so much for hanging out up until this point. I hope and I pray for all of us, and hope that this was helpful to all of you guys. Have another great episode coming out this week on the main pod. And until then, you guys enjoy fall, stay safe out there. And like we always say, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.